All right. Well, we're going to pick back up in the Psalms today. I want to start by reading in Psalm 10, the first half of this psalm. In fact, I believe David writes this psalm, and it's one psalm, but does so in two parts. See if you can empathize with David and feel as if I just prayed about God, where are you? This is what David says. In fact, the title in my Bible of the psalm, Why Do You Hide Yourself? Talking about God. Psalm 10, starting at verse 1, it says, Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts of there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages and hiding places. He murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws them into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. And in my prayer is that if there is someone in the sound of my voice this morning that is echoing the same thoughts that David had in this psalm of God, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Do you see? Do you care about me? Am I valued? Do you love me? Is there any concern for me? And God, like David, we could even look and see around maybe those who aren't seeking you, and yet it seems they prosper more than those of us who are choosing to follow you because of your great love. God, where are you? As David says, Father, my prayer is that if someone is here, no matter the situation that life has them in, Father, that if they're asking that question, God, where are you? Would you show them today? Would you be faithful that if they call Father, you call back son or daughter? I believe you will. Father, if that's where we're at, could we be honest with you? Could we humble ourselves to the point of honesty and say, God, I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't hear you. Where are you, God? God, I believe if we do that, I believe you'll show up. It may not be wrapped in the package that we want, but God, you will show up. You will not leave your people be. So God, if we're there this morning, if we say, where are you, would you show us this morning? We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. David starts this psalm with a question that maybe you are living in right now. He says, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Ever felt that way? Man, when things are really going bad, it's easy when things are good, when life seems to be going okay. It's easy to say, man, there's the blessings of God. I see it. I feel him. I hear that still small voice in all those ways. But man, when times are tough, it's easy to take it to the other extreme. And just like David, say, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of this? Have you forgotten me? Have you changed your love for me? And why do we do that? Because most relationships we have on this earth, this is the only life that we've lived. Most relationships we have in this life, we have to do something, or we have to perform, we have to earn. And the concept of grace, this unmerited favor that we do not deserve, is really a foreign concept of our homeland, where we belong, right? This idea that it doesn't matter if I make mistakes. It doesn't matter if I wander far away, as we talked about last week with the prodigal son. None of those things matter in the idea of God's love for me. It doesn't change. But man, we can feel like that. We too, like David, can say, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? We have all been there, especially when we look ourselves in a mirror or are faced with the contemplation of why is life so hard? And we've all been there. It doesn't matter your situation. We have all been at a place in life where we just honestly come to the end of ourselves and say, God, why is this life so hard? Especially when we see, as David did, the wicked prosper. And we are trying our hardest to walk in step with God. And here David, the psalmist, he takes this one psalm and he puts it into two parts. And really, this verses 1 through 11, he comes to a place where here's a couple of things. He says, I see the arrogant, God. Not only do I not see you, but I see the arrogant. And they are wicked and they pursue the poor. They're taking advantage of people. The wicked, they boast of self. They renounce you. In other words, they say, God, you don't exist. God, would you show them you exist? David is saying, my enemies are all around and they're wicked and they don't chase after you. And they even say he doesn't exist. In pride, they don't seek you. They curse others. They are deceitful. They are oppressing people. And they sit in ambush. And on it goes through 11 verses where David is saying, not only do I come to a place right now, God, where I really have to contemplate and ask, why do you sit so far away? Why do you hide from me in times of trouble? Not only do I have to deal with that, but I see all of these others who don't care about you. And it seems to be in this world's standards that they are prospering. Let me tell you what David is doing right now. Anybody ever seen a kid just come to the end of themselves, and maybe in Walmart, maybe at another place where they're kicking and they're screaming and they utter the words, this just isn't fair? Anybody ever seen that with a kid, right? If we're honest, or we may be that kid sometimes, and we're saying that even right now, life just isn't fair. You know what? It's not. I honestly wish that I had ammunition to be able to point at you and say, man, if you'll just give your life to Christ, then everything will be fixed in this world standards. And that's just not the case. I don't see that in here. In fact, I hate to be the bearer of what might seem as bad earthly news. In fact, my Bible tells us that if we really give our life to Christ, if we really follow him, it might make this world actually a bit tougher. And man, that stings, because we feel like the kid at the aisle of Walmart kicking and screaming and saying, this just isn't fair. I think we're in good company, though. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. We've said this over and over, and we'll continue through the Psalms to say that. But yet he was a sinner just like us. He was a murderer, an adulterer, a liar, a prideful person at times. And here he sits and he says, God, even if we're honest, we can say, man, he's a king. I don't feel real sorry for him. But he sits in his throne and says, life just isn't fair. I'm seeking after you. And God, I'm in a time of trouble. People are all around and pursuing those who are poor, pursuing those who are already afflicted, and trying to ensnare them, to trap them. And God, why do you stand so far away? Maybe honestly where you find yourself this morning, God, why are you so far away? I want to read these verses again, verses 10 and 11. Here's what David says. The helpless are crushed, sink down and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face and he will never see it. You ever feel like, God, you have forgotten me? I've got glorious truth for you this morning. Anybody want some truth? Here's what it says in the rest of the psalm. Anybody remember Paul Harvey? The rest of the story? You ever heard that on radio? Man, I'm glad he didn't just leave it as a place of David saying, man, God, where are you? And God, you have forgotten us, and that's it. Here's what he says in verse 12. Arise, O Lord, O God. Lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see. Listen to what David says. He's almost reasoning with himself as he pens these words. He's saying, God, where are you? You've forgotten me. Everybody is oppressed and afflicted and crushed in spirit and forgotten and feeling like there is no hope. But then he says, but wait a minute. You do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take into your hands to you the helpless. commits himself. I want you to see the picture that David is painting. He's saying, wait a minute, I know better than that. I'm going to stop my pity party moment. I'm going to stop kicking and screaming. I'm going to stop saying life is unfair, and I'm going to realize that this is not my home. There is a home waiting for me when you restore and make all things new. I'm gonna focus on those things, and I'm gonna come to a place at the end of my pity party, and I'm gonna say, wait a minute, you do see. You are taking into account all of these things. And then he goes on and says, you do help the helpless. Anybody ever feel helpless? Man, life's too hard. God, where are you? You're in good company, because he says he loves to take hold of the helpless that commits himself. Anybody ever feel fatherless, right? Maybe dad ran out. Maybe it's not even you had a good earthly dad, but there's still something longing inside of you to be fathered, to be in a place. If that's you, here's what he says. You have been the helper of the fatherless. In other words, I'm not an orphan any longer. By the way, it doesn't matter about my life. If everyone looks at my life and even says cursings on that, curses my life and says, you have nothing as far as this world goes, we can come to a place and say, nope, you are the father to the fatherless. My friends, that makes us royalty. That the King of Kings would say, I am the helper to the fatherless. It says, break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. In other words, David's pretty bold. He says, man, all them wicked people, show them. Show them your God. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. And then he praises. He said, the Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. In other words, God, I know you. I said that in the beginning, that where are you? You stand so far when I cry, but God, I know you're listening. Your ear hears the afflicted. To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of earth may strike terror no more. I want to encourage you this morning that in here that David has this moment of revelation. David is praying, God, this times are tough. Things are going bad, and this is unfair. And God, why do you stand so far away? And then he has a moment of reflection where he comes to and he says, oh, but you do see. Right? I'm mentioning, God, that you're far out there, but really you never were more than just a call away. Father, I want to challenge you this morning to maybe think about this. The world or a TV preacher or somebody may have placed in your ear that life is hard because you don't have enough faith. I want to stand vehemently against that based on the word of God, and says that that has nothing to do with your current situation. If it's bad right now, I want to tell you, unfortunately, we live in a broken world. We are born into a world at war. There's an enemy that may have placed some of these things in your life. If we're real honest and we say, I'm looking in that same mirror, maybe it's some of my choices that have me where I'm at. Life's not fair. On this side of heaven, it is the world in which we live in. There will be one day, as we said last week, where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, right? But that's not the world we live in right now. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you on your theology to think about this way, that really in all of those things, that has nothing to do with how much God loves you. See, the enemy wants to do that. He wants to take you and put you at a place of saying, life is so hard right now, just like David questioning and saying, God, why are you so far away? Why do you not listen when I cry? I want us to have a moment this morning. Everybody look this way. Hear me on this. I want us to have a moment like David and say, oh, wait a minute. You do see. You are there. You help the fatherless. You help the afflicted. You are the one who will listen when I cry. Would you be bold enough to do something this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. It may be a long time since you've done this, and it may be a word that you're not comfortable with based on your past history. You may not like the word father. That may bring up images of things that you don't want to visit. But I want to tell you, this is a father that won't leave. This is a father that will not abandon you. This is a father that will not abuse. This is a father that will not run out on you. This is a father who is there, who loves you and cares for you. He is a father to the fatherless. And it's not just some makeshift father, right? This isn't some backup plan. The Word tells us that before the foundation of the world, He adopted us. It was always His idea to be father. His desire is for you to be son, for you to be daughter. That is made possible through Jesus and through Jesus alone. His gift, His sacrifice, His mercy, His grace, and His hope that He offers. And if you find yourself at a spot maybe believing that lie the enemy has put over you, or that you have listened to other voices, or that you have done yourself of saying, man, life is so hard right now because God doesn't love me, I want you to know there's nothing further from the truth this morning. He loves you desperately and has made a way for you to be a son or a daughter. Only made possible through Jesus. When I ask you to be bold, I want you to just maybe say this morning, whether you're at a spot in perfect step with Him, you're walking in great relationship, or it seems so distant and so foreign that you too, like David, could say, God, where are you? I want to challenge you just to whisper one word in your mind, and He hears you, to say, Father. And we're going to pray like we did last week, that if we would be bold enough to say, Father, that He would look at us through the gift of Jesus and call back son or daughter. That's why we're here. That's what we believe is available for all. I just want to pray with you this morning. Pray God's blessing over this word. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your gospel. We thank You that we too, like David, can be at spots in our lives where we say, God, where are You? You seem so far away. Why do You not listen to me anymore? Why do You not help me in my time of need? God, help us to remember that we, through Jesus, can be sons and daughters of Yours. Nothing we can do on our own. I can't do enough good. I can't pray the right prayer. I can't join the right church. I can't do any of those things to earn my way into relationship. It is simply by the grace that is found at the cross of Jesus Christ. That because of that gift, because of that perfect life, because of that death, burial, and resurrection, Father, that we too can be sons and daughters of Yours. Not just a step, not just a filial dad, not just a backup plan, but the father to the fatherless, and Father, one that is the King of Kings. And in my book, that makes us royalty, that we are Your sons and we are Your daughters. I will confess, it may not feel like that here on this earth. We live in a broken world, a world that is at war. But Father, Your word tells us that these light and momentary, it may seem like a long time for those of us that have had a long life of tough stuff in this world. Momentary afflictions that pale in comparison to the weight of Your eternal glory. Help us remember that. Help us to understand that even as life dictates things, even as stuff happens that maybe we say, God, where are You? That You're still there, and that we would too have a moment like David and say, oh, but You do see. You do care. You are the father to the fatherless. You do help those who are afflicted and oppressed. Father, we love You. We thank You. That is grace and mercy we do not deserve, but we gladly accept it. If one of my friends here this morning can't say the word Father, I pray that You would give the courage to offer that word out, and let's see You work in their lives. Father, You're doing that with me. You continue to amaze me and deepen my relationship as a son with You just based on Your grace and mercy. Nothing on my own will, nothing on my own accord, but because You are working. And I just see how good a father You are. Father, I love You. Again, thank You. We can't pray out here without just thanking You for what You're doing out here. This family that You're bringing together, Father, it is truly an amazing thing, a gift from You. I love this family. I love these people out here. God, thank You. It's a gift from You. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. Again, encourage all that are hearing this prayer, Father, just to be able to say that word today, to say the word Father. Father, would You call back son or daughter through Jesus? We thank You. We love You. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning.